That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like being the sitting in the sidecar of your motorcycle brain. And somebody else is driving, and you're just sitting in the sidecar hoping, oh, geez, I hope they don't crash my body into something. Because
episode title. Welcome to Nerd Burger, episode 28.
Episode 27.
28.
28. You're right.
I know is because I paused briefly there to look at my notes.
The reason I goofed it up is because we're recording two episodes today, and I've got the header 28. I didn't update the header to the second person to be 29. Oopsie.
Episode 28, part one.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Wow, you remember to ask me how I was doing.
We're two episodes in, and... Your news is good. When you would ask me how I was doing, I would usually like tell you something of my life. Give the listener something to relate to.
Yeah.
So how are you doing, Mike?
Great.
But what do you got on the table over there? Come on.
I got a new iPhone.
Whee!
Yay!
And so far, it's not made you car sick? Motion sick?
No.
Mike was telling me before we hit the record button that there are people... pitching a fit over iPads.
Mostly on the iPads.
Because it's a big
larger screen.
And when you tilt the screen, the background and the foreground move differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes people, I guess, throw up on their iPads.
I guess.
Is
there a port for that where I can throw up into?
Jeez.
Maybe
Apple should make some sort of bag that you can attach to the iPad in case you get sick using it.
We'll talk about my new iPhone experience in a moment, but for now,
yes,
we have a guest,
and here he comes. Adrian, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys.
How's it going?
It's wonderful.
Did you get a T-top Trans Am in between now, the last time you were on, and now?
And I curled my hair. So.
And had a severe lightening of your skin tone.
Yes, I'm doing the Michael Jackson experience.
Well, don't complete that experience, please.
No, we don't want you to.
We like having you around.
Molest children and die. Right?
I was referring to the dying, but that.
Molest children, live in a theme park.
Allegedly.
And die.
Yeah.
Allegedly. So, yeah, there we are. What kind of phone do you have?
Windows Mobile. I'm an Illumina guy.
Okay.
He's an aluminum guy. Why don't you have an iPhone then? Or an HTC One?
No, Windows.
Both aluminum.
Windows, where is that?
For you and 0.5% of the market. No, actually, you know what? Windows Phone, the operating system, is pretty neat. I like it. I think it's actually not that bad. I think it's better than Android. But I don't know why. I don't know why they can't get
it's
it going.
It's marketing. Their own marketplace doesn't own anything in the market.
It's okay. It's okay, little Android. It's okay.
But their business model is much better than the iPhone. You know, $9 a month, unlimited downloads, unlimited streaming.
Yeah.
Can't beat that as far as music is concerned.
Android's in front of iOS 7.
In what? Market share?
For market share.
It always has been.
No, not... No, only recently it surged. Now, the iPad is still...
No, Apple has never been in front in smartphone market share. Android stole all that market share from...
No, I think this was in tablet. I think Android's in front in tablet. But that's split up across all the different types of tablets.
And all the different types of Android, which aren't actually Android, like Amazon. Okay. Which forked Android and made it their own.
Which what? Did what to Android?
They forked it.
Oh.
Forked it up good.
Okay.
Wow.
Forked it right in the A.
But the iPad is still...
A being Amazon.
Yes.
Yeah.
The iPad is still the product leader. Anyway.
And it's also the leader in web usage by like leaps and bounds. These people that buy their Kindle Fires and their, pardon the expression, crappy Amazon or Android tablets aren't actually using them to do anything.
So what are they doing?
We don't know. They buy them and they use them for a week and decide, wow, this is a really crappy user experience. Do they give it to their kid and unplug it from the internet.
Do they keep their snacks on it? Do they like pile it up with Cheetos and sit in front of the TV and watch their
using it as a cutting,
Netflix?
A cutting board in the kitchen?
All right. We've got some stuff coming from Mike, but I wanted to share this first because it's funny.
Share it.
It's time for news.
Is that what that means?
Yes. Mike, I know you're not a baseball fan.
What's baseball?
Adrian, are you a baseball fan?
You mean wasteball?
Okay.
Oh, hey.
So not a single baseball fan in the house. High five over there.
You know, I loved baseball when I was a kid, and then I grew up, and now I don't like baseball anymore. It's so boring.
There are plenty of people who enjoy baseball, and I will say this much for baseball. I think the experience of being at the ballpark is really good. It's a group thing, right? You're eating and you're drinking and you're there with a crowd and the crowd mentality takes hold. And mm-hmm. It's like in between play,
you do the wave
in between pitch, you know, in between every pitch, you can be having a talk with somebody because you can actually have a conversation, because so everything's so dragged out.
You can say that with any sport then. I mean, I'd rather watch.
Not with basketball. You can't have a conversation during basketball if you're really paying attention.
Basketball's
game just keeps going.
It's just nonstop running around, but it's all so monotonous.
Not as monotonous as soccer. But anyway, the point is, none of us really watches baseball, but I thought this was entertaining. The Houston Astros tried to have a ladies' night promotion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, here's what they tweeted. 9/27 is Ladies Night by State Farm. Ladies can learn about baseball, enjoy music, food, and drinks, and more. For info and ticks, blah, blah, blah. Basically, just mildly implying that women don't know baseball.
Learn about baseball.
They can learn about, you can learn about, learn all about baseball. Was there
a pamphlet? like a handout with diagrams.
The event starts at 4 p.m. with a baseball 101 talk, followed by a happy hour themed diamond, bling, and glittery things.
Wow.
Like baseball diamond?
Well,
diamond?
Yeah.
But, and it's blinged out.
Well, they're kind of, yeah, it's, you know, the baseball diamond, but they, you know, yeah, in order to get the ladies in to watch the baseball, you got to give them.
This sounds like something that was decided in committee.
This sounds like something that was decided in the 50s. Those housewives, when you want to get them, give them a day off, husbands. You know, they've done their jobs well by taking care of your kids for you and taking care of your house for you and taking care of you. The thankless job that was the 50s housewife.
Yeah,
take them out one night. Diamonds, what is it? Diamond, bling, and glittery things. Literally, that's what it's themed. Yeah. Quote.
Okay.
All that stuff. Yeah, it was a huge, huge not success. Nobody showed up. It drew a ton of
criticism. Was that the game that no one watched on TV? Like it got a zero share or something?
I don't know.
That was a Houston Astros game.
It all gets zero share to me.
Possibly. I may have seen something in the news about that.
That's your sports news.
That would be
news.
Funny if it was, though. I'm going to look that up.
That's your sports news. That'll probably be the last time we ever report on baseball.
No? Well, baseball, yeah. I thought you were going to say sports.
Oh,
no.
We'll talk about the Packers now and then.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to talk about them right now because a little bit of a disappointing start. We'll wait till they're doing better and then we'll be happier.
Or we'll talk about them in the next episode.
Sure.
Because Mike might have something on that.
Oh, okay.
Spoilers.
That's excellent pre-production we do here. We have an extensive meeting beforehand. Adrian, you were involved in that meeting. How'd that go?
It's phenomenal.
It involved us answering the door, you walking upstairs, us chatting for 5 minutes.
Then starting.
Yes.
But not before there were phone calls and directions given.
He found his way here.
Through the homogenous neighborhoods.
Where everything looks the same. All right. What's your news, Mike?
I got a new iPhone.
Okay, let's hear all about it.
Yeah, so here it is.
Because he's practically drooling over there. Oh. Ooh, look at that. It's pretty.
Watch.
He presses the button with his thumb.
Unlocked. Boom, with my fingerprint. How awesome is that?
And with your thumbprint.
Yeah.
And then you said you did your...
I did both thumbs and both middle fingers.
No, well, start at the beginning.
Oh, okay. Well... Originally, I did. So this is Friday night after I got this Friday. So Friday night, I stayed up late and I was playing with it and the phone.
Okay.
I saw that look you were giving me. And I thought, okay, well, you can add 5 fingerprints. And what a lot of people are talking about doing is doing their thumbs, their index fingers, and then leaving one open for their spouse or partner or significant other to put their thumb or fingerprint in so that they can unlock your phone in case
if you're
not around.
If you're pooping.
Right.
And your phone rings, Allison can answer that for you.
No, chances are if I'm pooping, it's in there with me.
Nice.
Why do you think my case is brown?
Okay, so.
So I did my thumbs and my index fingers, and then I actually tried using the phone yesterday.
Right.
This is the next day. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that I don't use my index fingers. I use my middle fingers. I don't know, because they're longer, I guess. But when it's like sitting on a surface, you know, it's kind of awkward to put your thumb on it because you have to bend your arm funny. So
you go in there middle finger
first. I go in there middle finger first on both hands. So I had to delete the index finger prints and put the middle finger prints in there. But yeah, it works great. It's you saw it. It's instantaneous. I mean, there's no, yeah. And it's fun. It's fun to put the finger in it.
Okay.
Put the fingerprint in it. you rest your finger on it and then it gives you a little graphic representation of a generic fingerprint. That's gray. All the little lines are gray and it starts filling them in red and it fills in part way. And then it vibrates the phone
all right,
to let you know, lift your finger up, put it back down. And you do that like half a dozen times and it gets your fingerprint. And then it asks you to do the sides of your finger and the tip of your finger, kind of move it around
in case you grab it funny.
Yeah. So it can learn more of the surface rather than just the center of it.
Right.
And what I've determined is that I was pretty, trying not to.
Just going to sit there and mime it for us.
I was using the tip a lot. When I was inputting the fingers, I'm probably going to have to do them over again because I end up using more of like what you would refer to as the ball of your finger, like the way bottom
near
the finger,
joint.
More than I use the tip of my finger. So I'll probably have to redo them. But it's working very well. Camera is great.
Use the camera. You called Adrian this morning.
Called Adrian.
That seemed to work just fine. So your iPhone
works as a phone
just fine.
Just fine. But, you know, my iPhone 4, which, you know, if you listen to the media, supposedly didn't work as a phone, but that worked just fine for 2.5 years for me. I'm liking it. It's super fast. It's ridiculously fast, like so much faster than even this other phone.
Now, and up until Friday, you loved your iPhone 4.
Yeah.
Loved
I still
it.
Do.
Do you hate it now?
No.
Do you ask it? Why can't you be as good as your younger brother? Why are you so fat? Why are you so fat? Why are you so slow? That'd be the question. Why are you so fat? That's from John Cusack movie again.
Which one?
Crap. What's the one with him when they have the big boat race at the end?
Oh, with Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't think of what it's called, but it's Bobcat Goldthwait's
telling
the story.
One Crazy Summer.
Yes. Go watch it, kids. John Cusack when he was young and in weird comedies.
Yep. Also watch The Sure Thing, which is another one that that it wasn't as popular as some of the others, like Better Off Dead.
I don't think I've ever seen that one or seen parts of it.
The Sure Thing?
Have you seen The Sure Thing, Adrian?
I'm still trying to figure out who John Cusack is.
Wow, really?
Really?
He's the white, I don't know, what's the black version of John Cusack? So we can relate that way?
No, we've adopted Quentin Tarantino, so.
Okay. He goes to the meetings now?
He does.
Say Anything? Did you ever see that?
No.
Okay. What was the baseball movie? Speaking of baseball.
See,
8 Men Out.
8 Men Out.
You said baseball.
So oh, yeah. Seen a football movie, a basketball movie.
Just because there's black people in those sports and there weren't any in
no,
Eight
I'm
Men
thinking,
Out.
I'm trying to think of not.
Really? It has to be sports related?
What else was he in?
Well, Eight Men Out
big,
was.
Big. No, I was just thinking stuff that would have been more
before
popular.
Was before integration of the sport.
Integration. Right.
What was the 2012 movie? He was in that.
He was in 2012.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
He was the main,
he was the main character in that.
He was the dad with the limo.
Okay, I know who he is.
So now imagine him 30 years younger and really funny. and not just cashing a, you know, cashing a check.
16 candles?
Yes. I saw 16
He was candles. He was one of Farmer Ted's sidekicks.
Who's Farmer Ted?
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Did you have other tech news? Or did you just wanted to expound about your phone? Do you have other stuff?
No.
Okay.
I was leading in with
that. So on a personal note too.
Right. So speaking of the fingerprint sensor, it got hacked.
Already?
And that's hacked with dick fingers because it wasn't really hacked.
Okay.
Somebody, some German
hacking
group.
Those Germans just like to go where they're not wanted.
They spent a hell of a lot of time and a hell of a lot of effort and thousands of dollars worth of equipment to recreate a fingerprint, like a latex fingerprint based off of
a Mission Impossible movie,
based off of a fingerprint, a perfect fingerprint that they lifted off of the glass from the iPhone. And they made a fake finger tip and put it on there and it unlocked after, you know.
Okay.
Many, many hours and thousands of dollars worth of equipment and supplies.
Guesstimate how many hours they spent. Just give me a big number.
I don't know, a couple of days.
A couple of days straight.
20 hours. Let's just say 20 hours.
Okay, 20 man hours. One guy working for 20 hours.
Sure.
Okay, do you think one guy working for 20 hours could input 10,000 different digits, 10,000 different four number combinations into a phone?
Maybe.
And get into somebody's phone? Because that's what most people's security on their phone is. If they have security on their phone, it's a four-digit PIN.
Right. And you have to have that four-digit PIN anyway as a backup in order to use the fingerprint thing.
Right.
So there's actually two levels of security.
Well done, German guy with too much time in his hands. Well,
so
there was actually a bounty out for it. There was a $10,000 bounty for anyone
that could
hack it.
Oh, of course.
I think I would have did it for $10,000.
So why didn't you? Come on, man.
Too much effort.
Way to go, German guys, earning your $10,000 doing an implausible hack of something that no one would ever bother to do to enter anyone's iPhone.
And they actually reneged on the bounty. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why? What?
It was a public bounty. Some venture capitalist group put up the money, said, if anyone can hack the iPhone, we'll give them $10,000. Then once they did it, they said, Yeah, we mean $10,000.
We were kidding.
They didn't come back and say, well, that's not really a hack of the hardware. That's just hacking the fingerprint. No.
No.
They just said, just kidding.
Yeah,
kind of
like that.
Way to go. Good work.
They danced out with their their bamboo canes. All right.
So
well done, German guy.
Yeah, so the iPhone, also now available in gold. Gold!
It's blinged out now.
Yeah, but it's not like, you know, obnoxious, shiny, cheap-looking gold. It's kind of like parts...
Like my car.
No, your car's, well, your kind car's of,
it's
like...
goldish.
It's like orangey, yellowy, goldy.
I thought it was bronze. I mean...
It depends on the light.
Sure.
I mean, it's one of a kind. I've never seen a bronze mini... whatchamacallit like that before.
Well, it's not bronze, but okay. It's goldish.
It's like dark gold. It's kind of like antiqued gold, maybe. Yeah.
Unpolished gold.
Seeing I don't take care of my car?
Your car always looks very clean.
Not really. The roof is always dirty because the roof is very flat.
Yeah. Well, it looks pretty
it's
good.
A hatchback.
It looks pretty good for a car that's kept outside.
That's true. In Georgia, where you get all the in a parking lot that's underneath trees everywhere.
Right. And then in the spring, everything turns yellow green.
When everything goes. Every tree. For those of you who don't live in the really warm regions, when it goes down here.
The pollen
goes.
Yep.
And everything goes at the same time and everything becomes coated in a light coating. Light dusting.
Oh, it's not light some years. It's pretty heavy. It's like a
yellow green
pollen. It's like
pollen
snow
everywhere. Yeah.
Anyway, some parts leaked out prior to the announcement of the phone, and people were calling it champagne. If you haven't seen it,
sure.
If that gives you an idea of what kind of that's like very pale gold.
Right.
Well, anyway, not to be undone, Samsung has announced that they're coming out with a gold.
Oh God.
Galaxy S4
is it coming?
Is what coming?
The thing you've been threatening
episodes. No,
you're sitting on that for a little while yet.
No, but
okay.
Yeah, Samsung, who...
He has a horrible character that he wants to play very badly, but we'll have to sit on that for a little bit. Incredibly offensive character.
Goldfinger?
Oh, no, you're not even close. So somebody else is doing gold. So that's somebody copying somebody else just because they picked one of the colors that somebody might want?
Well, curious timing.
Whatever. Please.
Samsung copies everything. Well, almost everything.
Is Samsung also producing everything in their phones in space gray? Talking to Mike about recently is like all the colors are described as red, blue, gold, whatever. And then when they get to gray, you can't just call it gray. That's right. A terrible name that inspires nobody's going to want to buy something that's gray.
What color is your t-shirt? Is it toaster gray?
It's a little lighter than gunmetal, we'll call it. I don't know what gray, but yeah. Because they didn't call it scarlet.
Right.
It's red. They didn't call it, you know, persimmon or what was the one I came up with? Sunbeam hope or something like that. Instead of gold, they call it sunbeam hope. Yeah. Anyway, I just think the name space gray is funny when everything else is just the regular color name.
Right. Well, I think you're right. It's gray.
Because they can't just call it gray though, because marketing is going to be like, that's a terrible name.
Right. It's the one color you don't want to use the actual name for. You need to pep it up a bit. Yeah, so here's what they did. They took the Galaxy S4, they changed the color of the plastic, and then they changed the color of the plastic rim around the outside from, I guess, silver, and now it's shiny, taggy-looking gold plastic.
Okay.
And then, but wait, they're not done. They changed the color of the front of the phone from white.
Ooh.
Or black, I guess maybe it comes in black also. Two new color options.
Why'd you look at him when you said black? You did. You were looking at me the whole time.
And because said... I assume he knows more about it than you do. More about the other phones. Because he uses a Windows
phone.
Right,
right. I know. Adrian, I'm just having fun.
He's not going to talk about colors anymore. Twisting everything I'm saying.
Yeah, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Can you guess what two new color options?
No.
For the front of the phone.
Space Ghost White.
Why were you looking at me like when you said that?
He wasn't. He was kind of looking away from you and shielding his eyes a little bit from the glare.
Off of my pasty white skin. Now, what are the colors?
Pink.
Oh, nice.
Which looks great next to shiny yellow gold.
Ugh.
And the other, my favorite, brown. It literally looks like a polished turd.
Jeez.
It's terrible. It's so ugly.
Looks like a turd with a thin layer of gold.
It's brown with a shiny gold rim around the outside. Good luck selling those.
All right.
So that's it for my news.
So you want to start it with alternate realities or? Magic.
Your choice.
Ah, let's start with Magic.
Magic. Magic the Gathering. I was addicted to that game. Man, I spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars on that.
Me too.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was the first time you told me about it. I had to look it up.
And guess what color I played?
White.
Gold.
Yeah, because it's the man's world. That's why I played white.
The man. Oh, I have to say it. Did you have a big black deck?
Always.
A big black what?
Deck. Deck of cards. Oh, it was a card game.
With an
D-E-C-K. Oh.
But actually what we want to talk about is modern magic.
Modern magic.
Modern magic. You know, it's an example of art imitating reality. If we, those of us that are gamers, remember Dungeons and Dragons.
I remember that. Yes, I played it last weekend.
But then you remember the schools of magic. Alteration. Obduration.
Yes, I recited those for Mike
Evocation,
and Matthew and Ray. And
necromancy.
Necromancy.
Necromancy, necromancy. Wherever you're from.
Transmutation, enchantment, divination, abjuration, alteration, evocation, abjuration. Did I miss something? Who cares? I was close. I got 7 of them.
Very good.
But when we talk of modern magic, it really involves...
Recite, monkey, recite.
monkey.
Okay.
But modern magic is really centered around evocation and invocation.
Okay. What's the difference?
Invoke is to take spirits in. Evoke is to bind spirits.
To?
In the use of magic, like when you look at voodoo or Santeria, or even, you know, at the Southern, I think they use roots. It's binding spirits to objects or binding them to items or to do your bidding. Very similar to how you do it in the games.
Mm-hmm.
You're essentially, it's symbolic, material, and verbal. You have an item. You do a ritual around it. Say some words, and voila. It's not that simple.
I was going to say, because in the D&D game, it's never that simple.
Not that simple, but it's the same premise. If you look at, if you ever read anything about Aleister Crowley from the 40s, called himself the evilest man alive.
Yeah, okay, Aleister, we'll make that call. We'll decide if you're the evilest. Hitler hadn't come around just yet, apparently. Anyway. they hadn't learned about the Holocaust yet, I guess, maybe. Anyway, Aleister Crowley, what about him?
Well, he's the one coined invocation and evocation, simplified it that way. But if we go to the Middle Ages, when we look at Arthurian magic, it was pretty much the same way. Either you create a magic circle and do an incantation and bind a spirit to you, or talk to spirits to actually get information. So it hasn't changed much in modern society. What we've been taught in modern society is that magic doesn't exist. Instead, it's just product of Disney.
Right?
Like Star Wars?
Like pixie dust.
Yeah, Harry Potter.
Sprinkle some pixie dust on yourself and think happy thoughts and you can fly.
But I would beg to differ that magic is a part of the fabric of even the modern world. Everything that you see, well, it's not David Copperfield. I mean, that's more illusions than true magic.
Okay. What do you got, Mike? You read some of this stuff. I didn't read anything.
I didn't get to the magic.
Oh.
I read some of the other stuff.
But well, it's part of a religious, in some cultures, it's part of their religion.
Right.
You know, as
I mean, I'm familiar with Voodooism, right?
Right, which is more of invocation. They bring the spirit into themselves in their rituals, and then the spirit speaks through them. In Western society, we have psychics or mediums who invoke spirits into them to answer questions. It's not much different than how it was in Middle Ages. We just call it 1-900 called Dionne Warwick.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember that.
Psychic hotline.
Now, this is not my area of expertise, nor really my area of belief. But I'm going to stay open-minded about this, but I'm going to ask questions.
Okay.
Okay, in terms of, now I know, like, you know, I make the joke about zombies.
Right.
And, you know, the Romero zombie and the flesh-eating and crawling thing. But the zombie in the voodoo tradition is a dead, reanimated corpse, or sometimes, as it's described, a person that has been controlled or animated. They become mindless. Is that invocation or evocation by these rules? Is the description of how that happens the binding of a spirit within that person that's subverting that person's conscious will?
It's closer to invocation.
Okay.
But you can call it possession.
Right. So there's something else in there.
There is. But, you know, it's about belief. You know, your mind is a powerful thing. If you believe something can happen, it can happen. For the most part. In that culture, they believe voodoo, you know, throughout their being. You know, so they believe that someone can be turned into a zombie. When you look at the Discovery Channel, what they did on the information about zombies, what they found was the formula used for it had some of the poison from the puffer fish, which causes paralysis.
Right.
Just like Serpent in the Rainbow. You've seen that movie.
That movie creeped me out.
Well, it's based on some truths in their ritual. You know, when making a zombie, they get the person to ingest that poison, which causes you to be paralyzed, mm-hmm. slows your heart rate, so that,
and that's what happens in the movie. He ends up in the, they're going to bury him, and mm-hmm. he's pleading right. to not be.
But they've,
he's like pleading this, in his head to not be buried.
And they've proven this in real life has happened. Mm-hmm.
That kind of happened with Nikki and Paolo on Lost.
Those were spiders.
Same kind of toxin, though.
Yeah.
Same toxin. And that's what they use to, you know, in their ritual. So the person's buried. They believe he's dead. And then when the toxin wears off, they come out the grave. And then they bind the person by telling them, I killed you. You've had a funeral.
Now, and if the person believes that that's how that works, they have no choice but to
correct
go along with that.
Live in their shed and play video games with them for the rest of their life, right?
But different kind of zombie.
But when you talk about possession, mm-hmm. you know, you have to believe in the spiritual. And if you believe that we're all spirit beings, you know, that this body is just a shell and that the person in us is made of spirit, you have to understand that there's good and bad spirits. Thus The Exorcist. That's Christian belief in the Holy Ghost. So possession is slightly different than making zombies. It's when a unwanted spirit takes over your body and has complete control over it. You're just watching it happen.
And I don't know that I believe that that type of thing happens, but like I said, open mind, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like being the sitting in the sidecar of your motorcycle brain, and somebody else is driving, and you're just sitting in the sidecar hoping, oh, geez, I hope they don't crash my body into something. Because
episode title.
The sidecar of my motorcycle brain.
Yes.
But, it, I mean, that is really terrifying.
It is.
And I think that's why movies like The Exorcist, and we talked about The Conjuring,
right,
are as effective as they are. Because even if it's not even if it's not something that you personally believe or that a person personally believes, just the idea of it is
the question is, if we look at it from a scientific perspective, science can't explain it, all of it.
Yeah. You know, well, there's a lot of things science can't explain. Right. I'll go with you on that.
You know, you can diagnose mental disorders, but some of the ones that have been possessed, some of the feats that they've done define physics as well as science. You know, levitating, there's documented evidence for that. Superhuman strength.
Ooh, have you ever heard of the Coral Castle?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Where he levitated
something
the
you
stones?
Said, some, yeah, something you said earlier made me think of that. I couldn't remember the name, so I looked it up. Coral Castle is a stone structure created by the Latvian-American eccentric Edvard Liedskalnin north of the city of Homestead, Florida, in Miami-Dade County. The structure comprises numerous megalithic stones, mostly limestone formed from coral, each weighing several tons. Blah, blah, blah. It is noted for legends surrounding its creation that claim it was built single-handedly by Liedskalnin using reverse magnetism and or supernatural abilities to move and carve numerous stones weighing many tons.
So,
and to this day, nobody knows how this thing was built.
Well, it ranks right there with Stonehenge. Nobody knows, like,
but this is,
they have an
this
idea.
It happened like, in the 40s.
But if you look at the location of it,
or earlier.
Right, but Stonehenge, the stones from Stonehenge are from like,
yeah, he worked on it until his death in 1950.
You know, relative to the size of England, from a really far, really far away. They're from a whole other part of the country. Like the just the sheer, now, admittedly, the sheer fact that they got them there.
Right, but they had
how rolling, many, you know, they're rolling the
logs. We don't
logs
know how many people they had. I mean, but, they had many, right. many people. This
that's
was
true. One dude.
One okay. person. But he chose that site for a specific reason. If you actually look at the globe and trace the
ley lines. Or whatever.
Well, right, but you know, longitude and latitude.
Yeah.
If you trace that line where that site is located, go all the way across. It's
the exact opposite.
Well, it runs right across Egypt, the pyramids.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a thing. Like, there's a line that runs all the way around the world that connects all these weird sites throughout
ley lines
history. Yeah. With these,
now I'm getting a little creeped out.
With these, the all
Halloween
these,
Halloween month is starting soon,
and with the same lines. If you look at UFO sightings, sure. they're all along those same ley lines, which like segues us into alternate universes.
Before we get to that, real quick, I wanted to throw this in there. Was that you made the comment about belief?
Correct.
And the power that that can have. And I'm right there with you on some of that kind of stuff too, because I've been told, and I've actually experienced this firsthand, that the hypnotism, mm-hmm. some people believe hypnotism is real. Some people believe that it's, they're not really able to do that type of thing to you. I was told that, I learned when I was younger, that if you really don't want to be hypnotized,
you can't be hypnotized.
Well, it's called free will. But, if we're right. going back to belief, just because you don't believe something exists or happens doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Very true. But here's what happened. I was in college. There was a hypnotist came to the dorms where I was living, and they put on a show, and he brought up all the, had a bunch of volunteer,
bamboo canes and everything.
What? No. But he did, he did some comedy kind of stuff, and then he did like some one-on-one hypnosis stuff, and then he did the big thing at the end where he brought up a whole group of people and hypnotized like 20 people all at once.
I think you've told me this story before. But go ahead. For everyone else's benefit.
And then you became an axe murderer?
No, that's something else. But it came down to, there were people that couldn't be hypnotized. Mm-hmm. That okay. They were like, they wanted to go up there because they thought, hey, this would be fun to be part of this. But, they just couldn't happen mm-hmm. for them. And you see that anytime somebody, I shouldn't say anytime, but I've seen it before when a hypnotist has done groups of people, there's always like, there's sometimes one or two that they won't take. So like, and it's probably deep down just because there's just a little part of them that's like, no, hell no. Even if they're kind of like, they want to be part of the show and they want to do the thing and they want to have that experience, there's still part of them that's thinking.
So I actually went and saw a hypnotist. Long story, different podcast. But
<Alrighty.
laughs> before she would actually hypnotize me, she gave me a test to actually see what side of the brain I use. And she said that people that use more of the logical side of the brain,
can't be
hypnotized. Whereas people that use the creative side majority are easy to hypnotize. And the end result, I was like 51-49, creative, logical. Like I'm one of the 5% that it's pure choice of mine, whether I can be hypnotized or not.
Hmm. Interesting.
We use both sides of our brain pretty equally. That's how we ended up doing what we do.
I suppose, yeah.
We're creative and technical.
You have to be.
Yeah.
Doing the architecture thing.
Our corpus callosum is huge and very active. That's a thing in your brain, not in your pants.
I know. It's the connective tissue.
What's next, Adrian?
Alternate realities.
Okay. Alternate realities. We've talked about that, but mostly in jokey terms mm-hmm. on the show. Wishing there was an alternate reality for this or that.
But what if there was? What if all of us had a choice? That decisions we make spawn a different reality, parallel universes.
That's an awfully crowded omniverse.
Yeah.
Or multiverse. Like every single choice you make.
Could be.
Ooh.
But if we get into alternate realities.
But in what percentage of those infinite realities did Peshtigo get nuked by the?
3%. Read the book.
3% of infinity?
Yeah.
Who was that pointed that out?
Dave. Damn it.
So we were talking about The Conjuring earlier and how it was like for me one of the scariest movies since The Exorcist, but it was based on spirituality, a spirit world that was interacting with the material world, our world. So when we're talking about alternate realities, we're also talking about a spiritual dimension that we can't see with our physical eyes, but doesn't mean it does not exist. Now we're going to challenge your belief, Craig, on existence of spirits and ghosts. And
I'm not saying I don't believe in them.
Do you believe them?
I don't. I'm not 100% down that anything like that exists, but I'm also very aware that I'm just a dude and that I don't have every answer.
What hope you're just a dude. Could be a woman pretending to be a dude. Pretending to be a woman. Pretending to be a dude.
No.
It's a pretty awesome beard for a woman.
All that takes is the right pills. No, I would like to think pretty open-minded. I don't have every explanation, so hit me. That's fine.
I'm pretty sure there's something out there.
Yeah, I believe it.
I had a dead relative come to me in my dreams.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Describe that.
Well, not to get into details, but this person died unbeknownst to anyone else for a couple of days, and in the meantime showed up in my dream.
Wow.
And then the next morning we found out that this person had died.
I didn't have something.
At which point I went, holy shit.
I didn't have that kind of thing happen, but I mean, maybe get to the idea of premonition mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. I've had a cell phone for going on 7 years, a couple of different ones, but I plugged them into the charger in my, essentially my dining room. The big room that has everything in it, but over in the dining area. And I set it there to charge. I don't keep it in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. One evening.
They got up and walked into your bedroom?
No. Play Angry Birds. Play Angry Birds. No. One evening, a few years ago, maybe 3.5 years ago, I took that phone off my charger. It was charged. I took it into the and put it on my nightstand next to my bed because I had a feeling that somebody was going to call me in the middle of the night. And my dad called me at like 4 o'clock in the morning to tell the next that night to tell me that my grandfather had died.
Wow. And was there any illness or anything leading up to that you would have thought specifically that?
Well, the dude was in his 90s. You know, he had not been in the greatest of health, but it'd been one of those things that like he wasn't in a definite spiral at that moment. Like I didn't
wasn't
know.
Something you were thinking about constantly.
No, it wasn't something about like I'm gonna have to go to my grandfather's funeral one of these days. That wasn't in my head all the time. You know, he had been in rough shape. He had gotten worse and worse. He had gotten older.
You just had it. You had an intuition, non-specific intuition.
But like that moment, that night of, well, take it, you know, 6.5 times 365 days.
Yeah.
How many times have I taken my phone and sat it down next to my alarm clock at night? That one time.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
I have those types of feelings all the time. Like, so I can't even give you an example because it just happens all the time.
No.
So, you know, the Eastern religions believe that we all have a third eye. That's a spiritual right. eye. That sees and gets premonitions from the other world. Science has tried to prove it recently with examining...
Is it your pineal gland? Is that it?
Correct. Right, your pineal gland.
Look at you. Go science.
And science, I didn't science, read about that either.
Science and the unexplained all linking together.
That one I just knew.
Okay.
And recently there was a study where science was looking at virtual reality and noticing some of the algorithms used to create virtual reality might exist in our real world. Which posed a question, do we live in the Matrix? You know, is this reality really real, or are we avatars in a video game?
Well, the closer we get to being able to develop something like that and creating
the singularity.
The closer we get to developing a reality, you know, creating a virtual reality of our own that's controlled by us, the closer we get to proving the idea that maybe we are in a virtual reality. Because once we've done it, then we've proven that it could be us. You know, right. We could be that mm-hmm. group of people inside of a virtual reality, inside of a virtual reality, inside of a virtual reality, inside of another virtual reality.
So would you take the red or blue pill?
I don't know. Whichever one lets me talk to the woman in red. She was pretty.
taking technology out of the context completely, if you're just, and going back to just generic spirituality, right. We kind of are. If you think of these bodies as shells.
True.
If you believe in reincarnation, right. Then this whole plane of existence is a...
Well, if you believe you have an everlasting soul,
right.
An eternal soul, then what you're in right now is just a little snippet else within a greater whole.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. I believe this world is just a learning experience for us to better ourselves and progress.
And perhaps become less fearful.
9 days!
9 days!
You saw that, right?
You gotta have more sake.
No. Defending your life?
No.
Go
back and listen to the episode.
Yeah, go get on Netflix or buy it or rent it. However,
it's
you
the
can.
Andy episode, the first Andy one.
Yep.
Okay.
But continue with the alternate realities. See, I'm intrigued with this kind of stuff. Did you have anything else to offer?
No, I do, but I'd like to hear the axe murderer story.
How much time do we have? We can squeeze that in. We can squeeze that in at the end.
15 minutes.
Oh, let's go. My story's not gonna take that long.
Okay. But going back to, you know, spiritualism as a whole and the third eye, mm-hmm. There has to be more to us as humanity. I don't believe that a small portion of us can see dead people. You know, I think we all have the ability. We just have turned it off.
Well, my sister, who is a scientist, she's kind of the biology version of Amy Farrah Fowler. Like she goes as Amy Farrah Fowler now for Halloween because she has determined that she actually owns the same cardigan that Amy Farrah Fowler was wearing in one episode. So she just puts the glasses on and like makes herself look kind of all dowdy. Anyway, she points out and she's not, I mean, she's very nuts and bolts science. And she says, and I like this, I repeat this, and like I'm doing now, matter and energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So when your matter, your body dies, it, you know, goes into the ground and fertilizes some shit and some other stuff grows. But what happens to your energy? It's got to go somewhere.
Right. And if you're looking on Peru, the shamans in Peru use a drug called ayahuasca. There it is. Which inhibits.
I am learning a whole other side to you, Mike. Wow.
I read.
I understand that you read. I just didn't realize you were as well read on this kind of stuff. All right.
Neither did I.
So the pineal gland releases a chemical.
I'm sorry, the what?
The pineal.
Pineal. The gland in the head. And
alternate episode title.
That gland.
That gland releases a chemical, I think it's called DMT. But this ayahuasca allows it to actually process the way it's supposed to. Well, getting away from the scientific on how it works, they had this experience in Peru where the shamans will take a group of people, they'll drink the ayahuasca tea, and they'll all experience a alternate reality together. So it's the only drug, as FDA calls it, that allows a group participation in an experience. So they're experiencing an alternate reality. They're seeing the same thing, even though they're individuals. And they say it opens up your third
eye.
Well,
I'm gonna press the question a little bit. Are the people who are taking this, are they all people from the same village, the same backgrounds, the same religion, the same? No, so they have a cultural, you know, do they have a shared culture that's going to, you know, when they see something, when they're hallucinating, are they just going to see all the same stuff because they're all familiar with the same stuff?
They're preconditioned to
think about those things.
Actually, no, Discovery Channel was the one that actually brought it out. They went down there and they participated in it. And Discovery Channel, being from the U.S., in Peru, wrote an article on their experience with it. And they said it's true. They experienced something that was a community event that changed their lives. If you had read your article.
Yeah. Well, no, now this is good. I'm asking the questions. I'm playing the role of the listener who's going, but really? And asking the question.
Now is that
that's wow.
DMT is that the God molecule?
Yes.
Or am I thinking of the God particle? Which is the physics thing. The Higgs boson.
I'm not sure.
Now I'm not sure. I thought I knew.
Quick,
the Higgs boson is the God particle.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just wondering if I'm inventing something based off of that.
Well, you're theorizing. That's what a lot of science is.
So the, you know, the lady from Discovery Channel that actually experienced it, she was an atheist before she went. She believed that we weren't spiritual beings, that, you know, when we die, that was it. After her experience, that completely changed her view.
Well, that's not surprising.
No.
I would have been surprised if you had said she walked away from that experience going, yep, we're all dirt. And that shared spiritual experience that I just had with these other people who I've never met before and who have completely different culture from mine, that goes to prove it.
Just a sack of water, water and chemicals worth $1.92 or whatever.
That's some terrible science. Just ignoring everything. Yeah. That's the killer when it comes to science, is that, you know, there's always something that's, you know, that's just not explained yet. And there's things that are perhaps never going to be explained. Right. And things that will, that, you know, something can come up and color your perception of something to the point that you'll never be able to, you as a person will never be able to get back to where you were.
True.
You know, it just, it's wacky stuff.
Weird, wild.
Weird, wild. Yeah. I mean, I don't have an explanation for all of it. I really don't. Getting to the matter and energy thing, just to touch really quickly, way back in the beginning of Breaking Bad, they hit on that. The flashback with Walt and his Gretchen
and
talking about all of the elements that are in the human body and how much they weigh, how much there is of each one, how much they weigh.
And there was something missing.
There was a minuscule discrepancy between the weight of someone before they died.
That wasn't rounding error.
There wasn't rounding error because they went through and hit the exact percentages of everything that was in there, what everything weighed, and it was a minute discrepancy between how much a person weighed before they died and after they died. And the question was posed, well, how much does a soul weigh?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
I'd imagine Walter's weighs a hell of a lot, and it's going to cause him to sink pretty deep.
Straight into the Bernie place.
Yes.
If that's what he believes.
Tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Are you watching it?
Nah.
Oh, jeez.
But I'm familiar with the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get on Netflix. Start watching Breaking Bad.
Right now.
Yeah.
Can watch all 5 seasons before the... No, you can't. You can't. Not even close.
Unless you can time travel.
Or you can find some people and drink some crazy something and have a shared experience where you can share their experience of having watched Breaking Bad already. Maybe that could happen. I don't know. Maybe.
Listeners, email us your experiences with psychotropic substances. Wait, no. On second thought, don't.
Just because this one's all over the... No, we're not going to talk a ton of Breaking Bad, but I thought this was interesting. It's all over the web right now. The final episode is called Felina.
Which is finale spelled...
Which is an anagram of finale.
Yeah.
But is also F-E-L-I-N-A.
Ooh, are those...
Iron, lithium, and sodium. Blood, meth, and tears.
Wow. Okay.
And I will say something to the writers of Breaking Bad. Man, they come up with some great episode titles. Yeah, they've got people, they just put an episode title and people are like, what does this mean? And it usually means something.
Yeah, it's not like Lost.
No, they
or sometimes episodes, it meant something.
Their episode titles are always, at the very least, they are incredibly poetically descriptive of something that happens in the episode, and sometimes they are like full-on clues to what's going to happen, and sometimes they're plays on words of what's going to happen,
much like we do here on Nerdburger.
Yes. Yeah, we put all that kind of effort into our episode titles. We wait till somebody says something funny,
yeah,
and then somebody says episode title. Jeez.
And then the music starts.
Yeah. Would you like to hear a story?
A creepy story?
Not a creepy story.
A true story?
This is a true story of something that happened to me.
All right.
This is the story of the axe murderer who lived next door.
That sounds creepy.
Sounds true.
No, I lived at the time that this happened was 10-ish years ago. I lived in Milwaukee. I had my own apartment. Living in a, you know, in an apartment building, so you have neighbors that are right there, right? A little bit of a preface.
I don't live in an apartment building anymore.
One evening, I got home from something kind of late. It was after midnight. It was very late. I wanted to go to bed very badly. And I had a guy living next door to me who had a girlfriend. I had heard them in their apartment before. I had seen them before.
Arguing? Fighting?
They were fighting. And the fighting was her screaming like mad.
Like, I don't know, bloody murder?
I can hear everything she is saying.
And what was she saying?
It was just, I don't remember the
you
specifics.
Effing blah, blah, you
there's,
blah, blah.
There's so much more interesting stuff about this story that's the part that escapes me.
Okay.
Even though I could clearly hear what she was screaming about. But
sure this wasn't a martial arts flick?
No, this was them. And then the guy is responding to her. In this kind of voice like this, he's talking very quietly. I can barely hear what he's saying. And so I assume, I find my, you know, my brain starts running and I'm assuming, oh, he's one of those douchebags who's doing the passive aggressive, calm down, honey. You see that I'm not getting loud and screaming at you. Let's talk about this. Let's like, don't be like, you know, he's egging her on by talking about how calm he is.
Yeah.
That's the assumption I make, right?
Because this, because it's not calming her down.
Because it's not, no, it's like every time he speaks, she shoots off again. Yeah. Clearly, either he's trying to do this on purpose and he's a douchebag, or he's doing this and doesn't realize that it's working and he's stupid.
Or he could have been saying, you better shut the fuck up before
I'm going to kill you with my axe. No.
Oh, okay.
So I called the cops on him.
Yeah.
Said, one way or the other, this guy is just not somebody I want to deal with. And who knows? I go to the door and she starts screaming at me. For all I know, because I don't know what set her off. Cops come, they quiet down. Da, da, da. A few weeks later, it's Saturday afternoon. I've got friends over. We're gaming. We're playing Dungeons and Dragons, I think, probably. The arguing starts from the other apartment. At this point, the game grinds to a halt. And I tell everybody the story of what happened a few weeks earlier with these people screaming at each other. And we're all back and forth discussing, like, well, what's going on? What, you know, we're all making our little suppositions and we're postulating what, you know, what they're really arguing about and what this guy is really like. And because we can't really hear him. Fighting's going on. It's going on. It's going on. It's going on. And then I hear a thud. No more speaking. And the sound of a door being flung open. I look around the room to my friends and like, what the hell was that? Get up, walk out, look. The door to his apartment is open.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody. I can't hear or see anyone. My brain starts going. Somebody's in there with an axe in their back, bleeding out.
Yeah.
And the thud was a body hitting the floor.
So
and whoever did it ran out the door and left the door open.
So you had a premonition.
Yeah. Well, that or I just have an active imagination. But I'm just like this. I don't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to react to this situation.
You go out there and take a look?
Do I walk in there? I think the person's gone. Maybe not.
Well, you could just stand in the hallway and kind of...
I wanted to kind of cover my ass because I've lived in apartment buildings before, and I'm not just going to go walking into somebody's apartment.
No.
So this sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah, it's the beginning of a horror movie.
So you know what the black guy would have done.
But you have all these people with you.
I have all these people who don't live there. So, and that's just, for whatever reason, that's what goes through my head. So I was like, you know what? I went over to another neighbor, the other side, knocked on the door. Guy comes out. I was like, did you hear just hear what happened? He goes, yeah, what the hell was that? I don't know, but I want to make sure that there's, you know, not somebody hurt or something.
Right.
So he's like, well, you come over here. You're a witness. I'm going to enter this place. I'm going to let them know. I walked over, you know, got to the door. I was like, hello, is anybody in there? Is anybody hurt? Anything all right? You know, what's going on? I'm coming into the apartment just to make sure, you know, I'm covering my ass in every way I can. Get in, look around each room. Nothing. You know, walked over, looked on the other side of the bed, opened the closet door, opened the shower. Just a couple of things, like, you know, the obvious, like, nothing, nobody.
No blood.
Nothing. Walk back out. Nothing. Jeez.
So they both left together?
But what was the thud?
Hit her over the head and then picked her up and carried her out?
Maybe. Just to and now, to this day, no clue what happened in there.
They never came back?
No, they came back like the next day. I shut the door to the point that it was almost closed.
Yeah. So it because looked like
I was
it was
like,
closed.
So it looks like it was closed from a distance. I was like, for all I know, they went running out without keys. I'm just like, I don't want to lock them out of their apartment. So I left the door very close, talked to the guy. I was like, and I made a report.
You wipe your fingerprints off the job?
No, jeez. Oh, man. Oh. And now I'm talking. Whoa. Okay, erase this whole thing.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
That was a great story you just made up, Craig.
Yes.
You really had me going there for a second.
I am a writer. A writer of the fiction.
So they came back, both of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I heard them.
You heard the voices.
Not that day, though. Not that after. Well, yeah, it was that afternoon, and people hung around that evening, and they never came back. That, and you know, maybe very late after we were, you know, had kind of stopped paying attention, and we had, you know, whatever we were doing that evening, we were having a few beers and watching something on TV or whatever. But yeah, weird. And to this day, I just, you know.
So yeah, where's the something's, murder? Where's the axe?
It was all in my head. It was all in my imagination is the point. But you're hearing a man and woman arguing, and the woman's going crazy, and the guy is, I'm seeing this seething ball of hatred that's slowly building. And that is that passive aggressive egging her on kind of thing. And then he just
quietly gets up, slowly walks over to the closet, pulls out an axe and just sinks it into her skull.
While she's pacing around the room, not paying attention to him. And she's just screaming like Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, where he's talking to, have you not seen American Psycho?
I've seen that one.
Where he's talking, one of the killings, it's about a serial killer. One of the killings, it's a guy sitting in Patrick Bateman's living room, sitting on a chair talking about something. And Patrick Bateman goes over and puts on the Huey Lewis music and gets the axe and puts on like a clear overcoat, like a clear raincoat. And the whole time they can't see each other. And he's talking about how Huey Lewis and the News really came into their own with their 1983 album Sports. And then he goes on, he gets this whole thing about Huey Lewis and the News while he's getting ready, walks out.
I've seen a recreation of this with Weird Al Yankovic.
Exactly. Okay. And Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
And then the guy sees nothing, doesn't see it coming. And he's sitting out there and he's like, why is there plastic on the floor? And he comes out and he ends his little diet, you know, his little tirade about Huey Lewis and buries the axe in the guy's head. And that's what I was seeing going on in that apartment. Wow. So I had to check it out. But I'm here. I didn't get horribly murdered by the axe murderer who lived next door. Oh, thank you.
Great story.
There you go.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So that's the story.
Wow.
Impressive.
Yeah. didn't really live up to it, to the buildup, did it? You were waiting for an actual axe murder.
No. I'm impressed that you actually went into their apartment and looked around.
I was young and stupid.
One in every room. Jeez.
Hey, see, that's how horror movies are made. Craig.
Yeah.
Are you okay in there?
I heard another thud, and now I don't hear Craig.
Well, maybe
let
we
me
should
go check.
Maybe, yeah.
Send someone else in.
And Josh walks in, and then Alice walks in. I'm just going through the list of people who were at my apartment.
It's the black guy that's left. Like, I'm not going in there.
Feet don't fail me now. And he goes running out of the building
and gets axed in the back.
Takes it and gets the chainsaw dropped on him.
Yep.
From down the stairwell.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Which happens in American Psycho as well. Spoilers. All righty. Where can they find us, Mike?
Well, first of all, thank you, Adrian.
I keep forgetting to add. I'm a terrible host.
You keep remembering to ask me how I'm doing, but then you forget to.
Apparently, that's one slot of memory in my brain. I can only remember one or the other. Thank you, Adrian, for coming on the show. Where can they find us, Mike?
I'm going to try to get these right because every time I do it, I forget. I say Nerd Burger instead of Nerd Burger Show on at least one of these. So it's nerdburgershow.com, Nerd Burger Show on Twitter, Nerd Burger Show on Facebook. I assume it's Nerd Burger Show on that Stitcher thing you keep talking about.
Well, I think it's just called Nerd Burger. But yeah, you can search for it. Nerd Burger, all one word. I've used it to search for it. I haven't listened to the show on there, but I've checked it to see if you can find it. Once they told us it was up, yep, it's up.
And email us, nerdburgershow@gmail.com.
On the next episode of Nerd Burger, Craig sits quietly in Mike's living room while Mike goes on a short speech about Superchunk and how they really came into their own with that album and this album, and then they came out with this song and everything was great, and Craig says, why is there plastic on the floor? And that's the end of the podcast. Bye, everybody.
Look out!
Thank you.
Whoa! Careful.
Bye.
You broke our dozens of dollars worth of microphones.
Yeah.